From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to a broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. In this series on the law of God, Dr. Cairns has been focusing on Christ's summary of the law: Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. In teaching us how to love others, the Savior used the parable of the Good Samaritan, which identifies our neighbor as anyone in need. It shows our duty to help regardless of the actions of others. In showing compassion to others, we become most like the Lord Jesus. It is as we love Him that we are enabled to love others. Dr. Cairns will bring the concluding portion of this message called Loving Others in just a few minutes. First of all, please enjoy this brief devotional thought from Morning by Morning, a collection from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon.
This morning's text comes from 1 John chapter 1 and verse 6. Fellowship with Him. When we were united by faith to Christ, we were brought into such complete fellowship with Him that we were made one with Him, and His interests and ours became mutual and identical. We have fellowship with Christ in His love. What He loves, we love. He loves the saints, so do we. He loves sinners, so do we. He loves the poor perishing race of man, and pants to see earth's deserts transformed into the garden of the Lord. So do we. We have fellowship with Him in His desires. He desires the glory of God. We also labor for the same. He desires that the saints may be with Him where He is. We desire to be with Him there too. He desires to drive out sin. Behold, we fight under His banner. He desires that His Father's name may be loved and adored by all His creatures. We pray daily, Let Thy kingdom come, and Thy will be done on earth, even as it is in heaven. We have fellowship with Christ in His sufferings. We are not nailed to the cross, nor do we die a cruel death. But when He is reproached, we are reproached. And a very sweet thing it is to be blamed for His sake, to be despised for following the Master, to have the world against us. The disciple should not be above his Lord. In measure we commune with Him in His labors, ministering to men by the word of truth and by deeds of love. Our meat and our drink, like His, is to do the will of Him who hath sent us and to finish His work. We have also fellowship with Christ in His joys. We are happy in His happiness. We rejoice in His exaltation. Have you ever tasted that joy, believer? There is no purer, more thrilling delight to be known this side of heaven than that of having Christ's joy fulfilled in us, that our joy may be full. His glory awaits us to complete our fellowship, for His church shall sit with Him upon His throne as His well-beloved bride and queen.
I shall see the King in His beauty, in the land that is far away. When the shadows at length have lifted, and the darkness has turned to day, to behold the Chief of 10,000, for my soul this were joy enough. Suffice for the bliss of heaven that the Lamb is the light thereof. I shall see Him in the glory
slain. Now I'll then resound the wondrous story with all the ransom train. Who can tell the glorious meeting when the Lord shall bring home his own? With one sight all his saints are raptured, the Lamb in the midst of the slain. How I'll then resound the wondrous story with all the ransom train. Alleluia, alleluia, to the Lamb that once was slain. Alleluia, alleluia, to the Lamb that once was slain. I shall see him, I shall be like him, by one glance of his face transformed. And this body of sin and darkness to the image of Christ conformed.
How often have you passed a church displaying a sign which reads, "Revival," during a given set of dates? Yet, how many Christians in this age of megachurches and seeker-sensitive religion have even the faintest idea of what constitutes revival in the scriptural sense? Certainly, the greatest revival in the history of the Christian church took place on the day of Pentecost. But down through the centuries, there have been remarkable visitations of God during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards, were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the late 1940s and early 50s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches were built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not because of his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees by the roadside under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches, crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of Duncan Campbell's own account of what happened during those revival times on the Isle of Lewis. There is also a CD containing the personal testimonies of people who were saved during those revival times. Either CD is $5, or you may obtain both for $8, which includes postage and handling. To obtain your own copy, simply send a check for either or both CDs to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just request the CDs of Revival on the Isle of Lewis. You may make your check out to Let the Bible Speak. If you wish, you may email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. You may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. You will be blessed greatly as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work.
My neighbor, God forgive us for being so pig-headed and big-headed that we even need to ask. The parable of the Good Samaritan identifies your neighbor, and it exemplifies your duty. A priest and a Levite saw the man lying at the point of death, and they passed by on the other side. For why, we don't know. It could have been for religious reasons. It could have been for fear. It could have been they were afraid that the same people may be near at hand, and that they would also be set upon. There could have been 101 reasons, but they looked on him, they saw him, and they passed by. What is your duty? You must not pass by on the other side. You mustn't pass by, no matter how many other people do it, no matter how respectable they are. You must not ignore need where you see it. You must not put your own comfort before the needs of others. You must not allow prejudice to harden your heart. The Samaritan was just that. He was a Samaritan. The answer of the lawyer to Jesus makes it abundantly clear to me. If he had gone down the Jericho road and found a Samaritan wallowing in his own blood, he would never have stopped to help him. Never. He couldn't even find it in his vocabulary to refer to the man by his proper description. What Jesus is saying is this: the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans, nor the Samaritans with the Jews. They hated each other. You talk about race relations in America or in Britain or some other place, look, they are calm compared to what you had between the Samaritans and the Jews. But Jesus says you are not to allow the prejudice that men have invented to harden your heart. What are you to do? You're to see the need and look with compassion. If there's one thing that's missing in our hearts today, it is just plain, simple, old-fashioned compassion. To look with compassion. To feel with those who are hurt. To get involved and don't simply leave it to others. To pay whatever price is necessary. And to make a love for others your ongoing activity and service. Do you notice the Samaritan, what he did? He tended the man by the roadside. He put him on his own beast. He brought him to the inn. He took care of him in the inn. He paid for his keep. And he said, I will come back and I will make sure that all the bill is paid. He returned to complete the job. If I could add to our lack of compassion, sometimes there's a more insidious sin, and it's this: we want to do good, but we want to do it now. We want to do it now. And if the response is not fast enough, then we drop off and we lose interest. Sometimes that can have dreadful consequences. If you go back in the early days of the Protestant Reformation, there was no man with a bigger heart than Martin Luther. Martin Luther, unlike the Romanist leaders of his day, unlike the political leaders of his day, Martin Luther had a big heart for the Jewish people. He had a zeal to see them saved. And he saw the Protestant Reformation and what was happening in Germany as a glorious opportunity for the Jews to be brought into the kingdom. And with love for the Jews, he set out to do that. But they didn't respond, at least not quickly enough or in numbers enough. And even the great reformer, in his folly, turned what was love into a violent hatred, and he cursed them. And while it is a mangling of history to blame the Nazi Holocaust and Martin Luther, that is a mangling of history indeed, yet nonetheless, down through the centuries ever since, Jew baiters and Jew haters have appealed to Martin Luther's crudeness. And what was wrong with him? He was a man with a big heart. But as far as the Jews were concerned, he didn't stay the course. It's very easy for us to do that. Winning the lost for Christ is not quick work. It's not easy work. God says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. The illustration is the Good Samaritan. That story identifies your neighbor. That story exemplifies your duty. But best of all, that story typifies your Savior. The Good Samaritan, ideally, has his perfect fulfillment in Christ. You were that man lying at the gate of death. Religion passed you by and couldn't do that much for you. Then Jesus came. And he stopped. And he looked. and He loved and He lifted you. He paid the price for your deliverance. That's how Christ treated you. God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When we were dark and depraved and dominated by the devil, God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us, quickened us together with Christ. That's how He treated us. Now the question, can you treat others in any other way? If God loved you, could you deal with others except in the love of God? Be ye kind, said Paul, one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ, or God for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. So we come full circle. God has loved us. God's love for us has begotten in us a love for Him. And loving Him is the key to loving ourselves and loving others. Now this is the law of God. This is how we're to live. We're to live our lives in love. That's not the pop psychology of the 20th century. That is the ageless teaching of the Word of God. We're to live our lives in this triple love, this love for God that enables to look at ourselves rightly related to God through Christ and enables us to reach out even to the most unlovely to seek to win them for Christ. We're to live in this triple love. This is true love. This is true obedience. This is true holiness. Indeed, this is true life. This is life. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I trust tonight that this summary teaching of the Ten Commandments will get through to our heart. Loving God and loving man. I trust tonight that this very standard of the law will drive those of you who are not saved to embrace Christ, in whom the love of God is perfectly revealed. And if you are a Christian, I trust tonight that this teaching of the law of God will teach you what life is all about. So many people who say they're saved, they're just struggling and they're just like a drunken man staggering from crisis to crisis, with empty lives, the shell of an existence. There's nothing worse than having the big terms of the gospel in your lips and the emptiness of the world in your heart. Is there anything worse than big profession and no possession? Living your life in the love of God for you, in your love for Him, in being able to understand yourself and indeed enjoy what you are and have in Christ. Reach out to others with the big heart of the gospel. You know, that is life. I trust that God will teach us that love, and God will teach us that life. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's all pray. Father in heaven, bless thy word to every heart. Write it indelibly upon the fleshy tables of our heart. Lord, see of sinners tonight. Don't let any man, woman, boy or girl here put the love for another between them and the Savior. Don't let anybody have a worldly friend or companion or a worldly activity or interest, keep them back from the Savior. And similarly, Lord, we pray, don't let any child of God miss doing the will of God because of the attachment of something or some person in the world. Oh, we would love the Lord with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind. And in that light, we would seek to love our neighbors as ourselves. God, give us grace to do that. So bless thy word, give fruit for its preaching. As we separate one from another, let the beauty of the Lord be upon us. Be the abiding portion of all thy blood-bought people, tonight and evermore. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.